This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's talk about some storage revenue strategies for 2026. It's January 2026, and I think we're coming up on a somewhat unique year in the self-storage business that's going to unfold in front of us. And I really want to create a series on some revenue strategies that I think are important for this year right now that might be little different approach, maybe not, but a little different look at how to implement some revenue strategies that will make a difference this particular year, given what I think is coming up. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer, free training like this, and paid for courses. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. But I want to do the first of three parts in some revenue strategies, at least that I'm focused on for this year. There will also be an ebook that will be available. Today, I want to talk about how to avoid reactive pricing. Now, keep in mind, this is geared for the smaller self-storage investor, and I get it. In today's competitive world, it makes sense to be watching the algorithms in your trade area and drop rates, or at least drop move-in rates, to match or beat your competition. After all, there's a lot of supply and dynamic pricing, and the pricing algorithms you watch tell you what your rate should be to be competitive in that trade area. After all, consumers think of self-storage as a commodity, right? So for the most part, they'll go for the cheapest rate, correct? Well, maybe. Maybe not. But just know that this can quickly turn into a race to the bottom, especially if you have REITs or very sophisticated players in your trade area. Now, here's the thing. The absolute last thing, at least I want to be doing, and I suggest you want to be doing, is to try to outprice a REIT. They can run you in the ground. They are prepared to sustain low rates for as long as it takes. Now, if you know your rates are fair in comparison to the market area, if at all possible, trust your rates. Now, this doesn't mean you ignore the competition, and especially if you're in the early stages of lease up, I know it's important to offer incentives to get some momentum in your lease up and renting. But here's the thing, you don't necessarily have to match or beat your competition. Now, if you're renting units, like if you're currently renting, you have momentum, you've got move-ins every month, and your competition lowers rates, that doesn't mean you necessarily have to lower your rates. If you're still renting units, the market's telling you that they accept your units, they accept the value and the benefits that they are getting for that price. The data that you get from your own facility is way more important than the data you get from the algorithms and the data you get from Radius Plus, for example. Look at your own data first, and then start making pricing decisions based on that. Now, if you do need to lower rates because move-ins are dropping, or you can't get the lease-up momentum, that doesn't mean you have to drop all the rates to match what's going on with your competition in that trade area. My coaching is, only drop to match or beat your competition if you're clear that they're getting rentals that you're not getting. You don't have to match them just because your move-in rates drop. So, for example, if if your move-ins are dropping or you can't get a lot of momentum, look at the sizes that your trade area absorbs the best, for example. And then test a couple of different offers. So rather than just, if you're at $100, dropping it to free first month, $60 a month after that, maybe offer first month free or first 2 months free, and then have another unit size and have another ad or another unit size that offers half off for the first 2 months or half off for the first 4 months, and see which one's getting more traction. Leave the rest of your units alone and see what happens. If you start getting more traction with, let's say, half off the first 2 months, drop the free month. Don't just reduce everything at once, all your unit sizes at once, to match what your competition's doing. Test the market. And something we hear a lot about dynamic pricing and a lot about move-in rates, but we don't hear much about value pricing anymore. Now, value pricing is based on the concept that, for example, not all 10x10s are created equal. Some 10x10s are worth more than other 10x10s in your facility. And a lot of people, statistically, a minimum of 5, as much as 7 to 10% of your tenant base will pay for upgrades for more convenience. So here's an example. Let's say you have a two-story climate control move-in that you're in lease up on, or a multi-story climate control that you're in lease up on. The units in the middle of the second floor or upper floors, for example, may be your 10x10 street rates or the street rates for all the sizes that you offer. The units that are closer to the elevator or on corners that are closer to the elevator are 10% more. The units that are in the middle of the first floor are 15% more, and the convenient units on the first floor are 20% more. You really can add more income to your bottom line than you imagine just by having some value pricing and test different unit prices and unit move-in specials to see which one works best. Ideally, I want to be the most expensive units in my trade area. Remember, test, take a particular size, take, for example, 10x10s, offer first month free. Take your 5x10s and offer half off for the first 2 months. See which one gets more traction. You can test for non-rent incentives as well. Give free tenant insurance for the first 6 months. That'll cost you a lot less than 2 months free rent, or dropping your rental rate 50%, 40% to get a move-in. Offer a free lock. We don't just give people locks, we sell locks. But offer a free lock. Offer a free truck, a U-Haul. Rent a U-Haul for someone so they can move into your unit. There are a lot of non-rent incentives that you can use to close on to get a move-in. Usually, non-rent incentives keep the integrity of your cash flow of your facility as high as possible. And finally, sell, sell, sell. What are you selling? You're selling your facility's benefits. Here's the thing. Storage is not a commodity. The public may think it is, but it really isn't. Now, when my wife gets mad at me, if I'm trying to convince her of something, she'll turn to me and say, you're being a salesman, or you're in sales mode. And when my wife says that to me, that's not a compliment. That's not a positive thing. But if you're in the self-storage business, it's a great thing. Look, it takes no mental energy. It takes no bandwidth to be the cheapest 10x10 in your trade area. This might boost your occupancy a little bit, but in the long run, it is a losing strategy. In my experience, the customers will pay a fair price for good value and benefits received. And remember, people never buy features. I don't care what they may be telling you. Human beings don't buy a 10x10 because it's at a certain price. What they're buying is what they think that price, the benefit that price will offer them. A salesperson introduces benefits, not features, benefits to their customer base because a smart person knows customers buy benefits, not features. What do I mean by that? A couple of examples. If you're open 24 hours, somebody has 24-hour access to your facility and your competition doesn't, the 24-hour access is a feature. The benefit is people can get to their stuff anytime they choose to. Or let's reverse it. Let's say that you only have hours from 6 to 9 p.m., 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., and your competition has 24 hours. Your limited hours are just a feature. The benefit is your facility is safer because you limit access and when people can be on there. People always want to be in a safer facility. And if they need access beyond 6 to 9 on an individual basis, you can grant it to them. The price of a 10x10 is a feature. People aren't going to buy features. People buy benefits. So what this implies is you know what your benefits are, and you know what the features are of your competition. And you know, and what you do is you, on your website, on your phone calls, you sell your benefits. We would have our managers come up with 3 to 5 unique benefits that our facility has that is over and above what the competition is. I've had, believe it or not, we've had people rent our units because we had 35-foot wide drive lanes in one of our facilities. Now, the 35-foot wide drive lane is just a feature. The benefit is you're not going to be blocked. You'll never be blocked from your unit. And we had a customer come and rent a unit at that facility because they had had trouble on more than one occasion at a previous facility not being able, having to wait to get into their unit because the drive lanes were narrow and a moving truck was blocking them. Now, that customer would have never known that had our manager not sold that benefit. Any feature can create a benefit. Know your benefits over your competition and sell them. See, thing is, in 2026, revenue is going to be critical. And why is operational expenses are going up. Insurance is increasing exponentially all over the country, particularly in coastal areas, but literally all over the country. Property taxes are going up and online marketing's going up. So our operating expenses are going to go up probably more than inflation. And smart operators in the next year or so are going to really have to focus on revenue and strategies that optimize the potential revenue of their strategy, of their facilities. Now, there is no, you don't just put it in place, set it, and then sit back and watch the money come in. You have to always be tweaking it and testing it. Start with your facility's data first. Then look out in the trade area and don't just try to match or beat your competition. Sell benefits, offer other type of incentives beyond just rent, and consider implementing some value pricing strategies as well. I think in 2026, a well thought out revenue strategy is going to be critical. I'd love to hear what's going on in your facilities and in your trade areas and what strategies beyond just matching in beating your competition's price you may be doing. Next week, we'll have part two of this series. And let me give you a hint. It won't be about pricing. I look forward to being with you then. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And I will see you next week as we go into part two of Storage Revenue Strategies for 2026.